Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast, where we share spiritual and practical ideas for how to live family life with a beautiful, self-sacrificing love. Father Luke is sharing another reflection this Holy Week to help us accompany Jesus in his passion. We hope that this reflection gives you an opportunity to prepare well for Good Friday and the resurrection of Christ on Easter Sunday.
Holy Week begins with Palm Sunday. And something that you probably have noticed, and if you haven't, then now you will know now for good, that every year at Palm Sunday, to kick off Holy Week, we listen to the entire Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. We go on a three-year cycle, so first Matthew, then Mark, and then Luke, and then we start again. And that's what we do it every year, Palm Sunday. We read the entire Passion. And then on Good Friday, we always listen to the Passion according to John, the Gospel of John. So John every year, and then the other Passions, we do it every 3 years. Now, why do we do this every year on Palm Sunday? To help us focus on what Holy Week is all about. We read the entire Passion, we listen to it, so that you and I can be mentally, emotionally, spiritually attuned to the events that we're about to commemorate. See, the whole point of our Christian life is not to follow the teachings of Jesus. The whole point of our Christian vocation is not to try to live up the standards of a moral code. The point of our Christian life is not to ascend to a bunch of truths and to try to make sense of them and live them the best. No, the whole point is to get to know a person and to fall in love with that person and to follow that person. That person is Jesus Christ. It's all about our love for a person who is the Son of God, who came because he loves me. He became one of us so that he can love me with a human heart, so that he can save me and who can reveal to me who God is and who I am. And Holy Week is a key moment every year, and that's why the church makes such a big deal of this, for us to enter into what are the holiest days of the year, so I can be very close to this person who came to this earth out of love to save me, so I can accompany him through those most difficult moments in his life when he is suffering and giving his life for me. So the goal for Holy Week needs to be to enter spiritually into the Passion of Christ, the suffering and death of Jesus. And so I would like to encourage you to take the time each day of Holy Week to meditate on the events that are taking place and enter spiritually into each of those days and each of those events, so you're united to Christ as he goes through all of those moments. Christ who chooses to accept the will of God, and he doesn't run away. He stays there and he's betrayed, he's thoroughly humiliated, he's scourged and crowned with thorns and crucified for you and for me. So I guess what I would like for you is that you make this Holy Week very personal, because it should be personal to you, that you accompany Jesus as he goes through his passion. And so in your prayer, be present in the upper room. Be there present when Jesus is washing the feet of the apostles, and then when he gives them the new commandment of love, and when he does the institution of the Eucharist. And then accompany Jesus when, after the Last Supper, he goes down the Kidron Valley and up the hill to Gethsemane to pray, as he had done at other times, to prepare himself for what was coming. And when he asked these three closest disciples, Peter and James and John, to be with him, and he opens his heart to them and says, pray with me. He says, my heart is sorrowful even unto death. Pray with me. Jesus at that moment reveals in his humanity the need he had at that moment for the support and the love of his friends. And we have to be there also accompanying him now, 2,000 years later, but we can do it now. And seeing and witnessing Jesus in prayer to his Father, who says, Father, if there is any way that this can pass, but not my will, but yours be done. And he's teaching you and I how to live and how to pray, and what real prayer petition looks like. And then accompany Jesus as he's being led by the soldiers to be tried by the Sanhedrin, and how Jesus is mistreated, humiliated, mocked in the most cruel way, knowing that his closest friends have abandoned him. Imagine how much that must have hurt. I don't know if you've ever been betrayed or abandoned by the people you trusted. And there is Jesus. And then as Jesus is being led out of that trial, and he looks at Peter, and Peter looks at Jesus. Jesus knows that Peter has denied him three times. And Jesus looks at Peter with great love, and that wins Peter's conversion, because he makes eye contact with Jesus. And you and I need to do the same thing, to make eye contact with Jesus always, so that we can understand more deeply how much he loves us. And then to be there and accompany Jesus as he's being scourged, tied to this pillar, and in the most brutal and cruel way, he's flogged. Many times people would die during the scourging. And how much blood Jesus probably lost, and maybe a few times he passed out, and they revived him so they... And then how Jesus is again mocked, and they put on that red robe and the crown of thorns, and they give him something that looks like a scepter to make, and they make fun of him. Hail, King of the Jews. And then being brought before Pilate and all the people, and Pilate washing his hands. We have to be there with him. And then accompanying Jesus as he's carrying the cross up to Calvary. I mean, imagine the weight of that cross on his shoulders. I mean, so many wounds. And I mean, it was just one big wound after all of that scourging and the crown of thorns. And we have to be there with him, encouraging him. And we have to be there with the desire to be like what we see in the tradition, that wonderful woman by the name of Veronica, who comes and with this white linen cloth, she wipes lovingly the face of Jesus so Jesus can see. And imagine how much Jesus must have appreciated that act of love and affection and service. And we realize that that's what that we can do now with our love for him. Now we can do the same. I mean, you and I probably wish we could have done that back then, but we can do it now with our life, by the way we love him, by the way we treat him, by the way we give him time, by the effort that we make to pray when we're tired and when we don't feel like it. That's how we can be like Veronica. And then seeing how the soldiers, after Jesus has fallen two times, how they ask this man, they force this man to help Jesus carry the cross. What an amazing thing that, you know, and you and I wish, you know, I wish we could have been there so that we can also help him. Well, we can help him carry the cross now, for sure. And then being there when Jesus is nailed to the cross, being there next to our Blessed Mother, who probably witnessed all of this, and imagine the way Mary must have felt, our mother, and seeing Jesus hanging from a cross, excruciating pain, how difficult it was for him to breathe when he was there. And even under those circumstances, having lost so much blood, being in so much pain, and it's a nerve pain, not just superficial pain. And yet, Jesus is there, and we hear Jesus who prays to his Father and says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." I mean, there are those Pharisees insulting him, making fun of him, even under those circumstances. They show no compassion, no nothing, insulting him in front of his mother. And what is Jesus' response? Forgiveness. So that you and I would learn what it means to love as a Christian. And then being there, we also see how even in that moment, just before death, in so much pain, Jesus is not thinking about himself. There he is and turns to the good thief and tells him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He's even saving that person. You know, amazing. Amazing. And then the most incredible thing, Jesus gives us his mother to be our mother. And then we want to be there too. You know. And we see how Jesus' last words, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Wow. Wow. And we wanna be there. We wanna be there. And that's why Holy Week is so important. You know, and as we pray, and hopefully we can be very prayerful, very contemplative during this week, we can ask Jesus, "Lord, why all of this? Why go through so much suffering and humiliation? Jesus, why all the humiliation and suffering and pain and death? Why?" And he answers. He does answer. He will answer to you. He will explain it to you if you ask him and you really want to listen. But in the end, he will tell you, "Oh, well, I've done all of this because I love you." The crucifix really and truly is the most beautiful image there is of love. Well, every year, after Palm Sunday, on Monday of Holy Week, every year at Mass, we read a passage from the Gospel of John. And it's the account when Jesus is in Bethany and Mary anoints Jesus. There's a debate as to, is Mary the sister of Martha and Lazarus, Mary of Bethany? Is Mary of Bethany also Mary Magdalene? It's a debate. Some theologians say yes, some theologians say no. I'm with the ones who say yes, it makes sense to me. I hope I'm not a heretic. I'm open to be, you know. But it makes sense. It's the same woman who anointed Jesus earlier on when Jesus is in the house of Simon the Tanner for the first time. She comes and anoints Jesus and it's you know, she's in tears and kind of bathes the feet of Jesus with her tears. And people start making fun and they say, well, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. And Jesus defends her. And probably for the first time ever, Mary felt unconditional love. And that's where her conversion takes place. And she becomes really, truly a great friend of Jesus. And now, just before the Passion, Mary does this wonderful act of love and she anoints Jesus. And she does it with this, St. John says, this perfumed oil. And we're told that it's very expensive. It says pure nard, worth a lot of money. I don't know anything about perfumes, and I'm not interested. some of you probably know a lot about them, but we're told it's very, very expensive. And it's a beautiful thing in this event is that St. John tells us that Mary breaks the jar and just uses all of it. She's not going to keep anything. All of it for Jesus, even though it's super expensive. You know, and that gesture is of great significance. And why does John use this tale, this event, as a preface, you know, to prepare us for the Passion? Why do we begin Holy Week, Monday of Holy Week, meditating on this event? I think it's because Mary's gesture, this beautiful, really wonderful gesture of love, reveals the meaning of what Jesus is about to do, which is the radical giving away of self, which Jesus does with his Passion and death. You know, there's nothing calculating, careful, or measured about Mary's action. She gives the best and most expensive and most valuable and gives it all, breaks the jar. It's all for Jesus. She's not keeping any of it. She wants to give everything to Jesus. And at the key moment in his life, we see that Jesus does exactly the same thing. When Jesus dies, and St. John, who was there at the foot of the cross, says that the centurion came up with his spear. He pierced the side of Jesus. And John says that what came out was blood and water. Jesus had given his life to the last drop of his blood. In the Eucharist, Jesus goes even further. In his incarnation, in a way, he's almost giving up his divinity. He's not, but, you know. And here in the Eucharist, as St. Thomas Aquinas in the Adorate Devota says, he's even, you know, giving up his humanity. He gives everything just to be with us, to save us, to love us. And this is Mary's beautiful gesture. St. John is kind of using it as an introduction. Bishop Barron, his words, he's so good with words. He says, it's a sort of overture to the opera that will follow. You know, it's a beautiful way of putting it. And this is what I would like all of us to consider and to pray about. You know, that Mary's gesture helps us to enter into the passion of Jesus, which reveals to us the way we're supposed to love. The way of loving of a Christian, the way of loving of Christ is complete, is total, is radical. So we have to break the jar. Give it all to Jesus. We have to give our life to the last drop of our blood. That's the DNA of a Christian. That's what it means to be a disciple of Christ. This is what Jesus is teaching us, especially now in the Eucharist. Said, look at me, this is how much I love you. I lower myself to this point so that I can enter into you, so you can welcome me into your body, into your soul. You know? And hopefully, being more contemplative during this Holy Week, accompanying Jesus in each of the days and moments, especially during the Paschal Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, then that deep silence of Saturday leading up to the Easter Vigil and Easter Sunday, that if we are accompanying Jesus, if we're with him, if we're meditating on the events and the words, then it would help us to think about our own lives and to make the appropriate changes after a good examination of conscience. It will lead me to think about myself. Am I giving everything? Am I breaking the jar? And think about your life. Think about all the gifts that God has given you, beginning with the gift of life and the gift of your faith, my faith. But think about, you know, all the things that we consider most valuable. Probably the biggest one is time. You know, are you breaking the jar of your time? Is the equivalent of this perfume of pure nard? I mean, for us, our time is the most valuable. Are you breaking the jar for Christ every day? You know, how generous are you with your time? How generous are you with your talents? Are you putting your talents at the service of Christ and the church? What about your treasure? You know, are you generous with the money that God has given you? You know? Well, make a good examination of conscience. Look into your heart so that you can see whether or not you're really loving God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. You know? You know, when we think about our lives and what's really, really important, you know, I just went through this because of my father's death. We were, you know, one of the things that, I mean, I've done it before for other people, but it's a little bit, you know, it hits you more when it's about your father. We had to design or work on the tombstone, right? And all of us, 9 siblings with my mom, my mom didn't want to get too involved. You take care of it, the poor thing, right? I mean, it makes sense. And we were, you know, I have a brother who's an artist and a sculptor, and he's very good at this thing, so he took lead, but we were trying, you know, name and... And your typical tombstone, in the end, it comes down to the name and the date, right? You have date of birth and date of death, and there's a dash in between, and then maybe sometimes you have a little image or a phrase, some words from the scriptures, whatever. And I was contemplating this and thinking about it, and I was looking at the dates, right? There was the birth, a dash, and the death. And we were, you know, what kind of numbers and how do we do them? And, you know, nobody cares about the dash. Yeah, nobody thinks about it, right? But I was thinking, in the end, it's the most important part. The dash is the person's life, is what's between the birth and the death. That little thing that nobody pays any attention, who cares about the dash, right? Well, that's a person's life. That's what that person did. That's what counts. And, you know, think about your dash. And what are you doing with your life? And in the end, the only thing that's going to count before God is how much did you love? That's what the dash is. How much did you love God and then others? Did you break the jar? Did you break that jar? Did you give it all? Or did you keep it for yourself? You know. So make this a very special Holy Week. Make it the best ever. Make it the best ever. And don't worry, so well, if I make this one the best ever, then what about next year? Well, next year you can make it the best ever. It's okay. But this year, and we don't know if we're going to get to the next one anyway, you know, spend extra time in prayer quietly, telling Jesus that you love him. Don't be afraid to use your heart in prayer. It's not a question of getting sentimental, but the heart is an important part of who we are, you know. Bring your own perfume, I mean, of your love and your affection for Christ. Yeah, help him to carry that cross by you being more generous in the way you carry your cross. You know. And then be there with our Blessed Mother, who was suffering probably even more than Jesus, being there at the foot of the cross. And so be there with her too. You know, seeing how she accepts the will of God with trust and with faith. And that way we learn how to do the same. And then we will be there with Mary Magdalene and with our Mother Mary on Easter Sunday, the morning of the resurrection. And Jesus will tell us that one day we will rise with him. And what a beautiful thing, and what a hopeful thing, and how consoling that really is. And that's why, again, make this the best one ever. Best Holy Week ever. And it'll change your life. And it'll be wonderful.